brain labor report.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, September 8th, 2021. You're listening to the Brain Labor Report.
We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapons, solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your copay,
war on the workers. War on the workers.
And cooperation.
War on the workers.
When they call you a team.
War on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. They can lock us out. It's a war on child labor protection. It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on Social Security. Now, thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah.
Thank you, dear Ann Feeney. Thank you. It's just about time we started calling the shots. Welcome, welcome, everybody. This is the Brain Labor Report. This is your host, Wes Brain.
And this is the engineer, Jason Houck.
And here we are, September 8th, 2021. It's a Wednesday. Our show's always on Wednesday. And before we say too much, right near the beginning, we should always do this. It's time for the disclaimer. The views are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of KSKQ or the Multicultural Association of Southern Oregon. And, okay, now we can say anything. Well, we could, and we will. We're not going to say anything, but we got some views on the Brain Labor Report. Brothers and sisters, we've got a good show for you today. I'll tell you our guest in just a couple of minutes. We've got a little more business to do yet. I want to do a shout-out to other stations that carry the Brain Labor Report. This very program you're listening to now broadcasts tomorrow on Thursdays, every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. in Shady Cove, Oregon, on KSHD 97.5 FM. on Friday morning in Olympia, Washington, 6 to 7 a.m., KOWA, that's 106.5 FM, and then Saturday, 9 to 10 a.m., this show will be heard in Eugene, Oregon, 97.3 FM, that's KEPW. So shout out to wherever you are listening to this. You could be listening to the archive. You could be listening to the stream if you're not hearing the broadcast here in the Rogue Valley right now. KSKQ.org. You could hear us anywhere. You can get a good connection. So welcome, welcome with that, folks. And okay, I'll hint to our guest today. I'll just tell you, we're going to have David Rovics joining the show. He will be our guest today. He's got a new album called Mayday. And my God, Wikipedia is not the best place to find things, but sometimes it's a good place to find things. Did you know the word discography? That's all of the albums that David Rovics, they don't have the numbers on them. They're all bullets here. I can't believe it. I got to scroll down. There's not enough room on the screen to see all of these albums. And his latest is called Mayday. He self-released it in 2021, this year. In fact, we're going to be talking about that. Do you know who David Rovics is, folks? Well, you're going to find out. If you don't, he'll be our guest in a few minutes on the Brain Labor Report. Looking at all these albums, he even has two albums that are called children's albums. He's got two of them, too. So with that, that's a little bit of hint about our show today. I'd like to talk about what's been going on the last few days. Brenda and I entertained ourselves. We got the heck out of the Rogue Valley. We did. We were able to get a little personal air filter, air purifier with a HEPA filter in it, and only moved 7 cubic feet per minute. That's not a lot. But we got a little teeny camper, and by gosh, it worked. We had to keep it closed up, of course, to get this thing to work. So my report is that we were able to scrub the smoke, scrub the air, and get the smoke out for our little camper. And here's my fishing report. Are there any fishermen out there, fisherwomen out there, people who catch fish, people who eat fish? Here's the report. You can get it every weekly, I guess it comes from the Oregon State Fish and Game, Fish and Wildlife, Oregon State Fish and Wildlife. You can sign up and get their weekly recreational report, but here's Wes's for you right now. You want to go fishing? I'll tell you exactly where to go, and I'll tell you how you can catch fish. Yesterday morning, at about this time, I headed down from where we were camping. We were camping at Farewell Bend on the Rogue River. Anybody know where that is? It's just above Union Creek. This is Highway 62 on your way up to Crater Lake. Just past Union Creek, Farewell Bend. It's a great campground. We just, by luck, we went on Monday, Labor Day, and we found a really nice site. So 24 hours ago, I headed down to the river yesterday morning. I caught 5 fish between 9 and 11 inches long in 1 hour. Big fat worms. That's the hint. They work. And I got a secret little spot, and it's not far from Farewell Bend. I could tell you, pace it off, how many steps, and the river splits a little bit right there. You got to walk across some stepping stones and not get wet, and get to the main branch of the Rogue River, and it moves pretty fast through there. But in fact, there's a little hole, and that's my report. Brothers and sisters, we got fish, and we're going to have barbecue for dinner tonight. It's good to go fish, and my doctor says eat fish. That's one of the things I'm supposed to eat. We're all supposed to eat. Fish is good for us. It is. My cardiologist says eat more fish, don't eat beef and pork. He actually talked me into doing that. I don't eat beef and pork. I crave prime rib. But fish is what it's all about, and we caught some, and I told you where to go. Brothers and sisters, what else to chat about? We're going to be bringing on David Robichs in just a few minutes. He's our guest today on the Brain Lab Report. Okay, any baseball players out there? Anybody? I know there's a lot of people in the Rogue Valley here in Southern Oregon who are fans of the San Francisco Giants. A lot of us are Mariner folk. We don't have a professional baseball team. We don't have a professional football team either. We do have basketball, our Trailblazers, but I'm talking baseball and the San Francisco Giants. Brothers and sisters, I got to see Willie Mays as a kid a couple of times in the Bay Area when I was like 9 and 10 years old. And what the San Francisco Giants are doing today is unbelievable. They whipped the Colorado Rockies last night. What was the final score? I'm going to make this up, but it was something like 12-5 or something, 12-3. They blew them out of the water. The night before, they beat them like 10-5. The Giants are on a roll, and I just love listening to the games, watching the games, and wearing my San Francisco Giants cap and rooting them on. So take that one to the bank. Fishing and baseball, big part of my life last couple of days. Try not to breathe this smoke and mask and stand the hell away from other people, particularly those who don't want to wear masks. Masks demonstrating their personal freedom. We might talk with David a little bit about that. David Robichs will be our guest in just a few minutes. We'll bring him on the Brain Labor Report. David has all of these albums out. His brand new one is called Mayday. And I was just talking to our engineer, Jason, about it. Jason, if you're able to download that, have that ready to play. Track number one on Mayday, the new album, is called 116 Degrees. Jason, is that ready to go? Let's hear it.
Lincoln's bombing Baghdad, there's a famine in Tehran. Fires are burning in Flagstaff, blocking out the day. The wind blows so fiercely, the grass is turning brown. It's 116 degrees in Portland town. Spas and churches, dripping with blood. A tower collapsed in Miami, damaged from a flood. Before the summer's over, who knows how many will drown. It's 116 degrees in Portland town. Prices of houses are rising like never before. Along with ocean waters as the temperatures soar. The developers develop, water tables go down. It's 116 degrees in Portland town. In the Congress they're discussing infrastructure. Whether it should be built to withstand fire, they're not sure. They found a dead man in an RV wearing a thorny crown. It's 116 degrees in Portland town. Outside the motel, a man was flipping out. He called 911 to tell them about his need for mental health care, so they came and shot him down. It's 116 degrees in Portland town. Don't know where we're going, what kind of shit's in store. I know I'm not the first to feel like I'm knocking on the door of either a new dystopia or a movement of renown. It's 116 degrees in Portland town. Indian Valley. They're out picking cherries, dropping dead on the field with a bucket of berries. City of bridges, each one like a frown. It's 116 degrees in Portland town. No way out, even north of the border. Welcome to the New World Order. Produced by criminal corporate clowns. It's 116 degrees in Portland town.
And you are listening to KSKQ. Support for KSKQ comes from Locals Guide. Locals Guide is committed to community building through the creation of positive media. They offer a monthly magazine, mobile travel guides, and visitor information kiosks, which offer timely and accurate information to people like you all around the world and in the Rogue Valley. KSKQ thanks Local Guides for its contribution to the Rogue Valley and to listeners like you. And also support for KSKQ comes from our listeners and from the Rogue Valley Metaphysical Library and Media Exchange. Since 2002, RVML has provided access to information that inspires, heals, and connects with books, audio books, and DVDs to borrow, purchase, or exchange. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at 1757 Ashland Street. 1 mile west of I-5, more at rvml.org. KSKQ thanks all of our underwriters for supporting community radio.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report, folks. It's 17 minutes after the hour, 9:17. It is Wednesday morning, and that means if you're listening to KSKQ, well, it's the Brain Labor Report. Brothers and sisters, I wonder if we have our guest on the horn yet. Is he there?
Hello, Mr. Brain. Great to be with you.
Hello, Mr. Rovics. David Rovics. Welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Brain Labor Report. Good to hear your voice. We never know if it's going to work until we hear your voice and you're being broadcast.
That's community radio.
We love it, I tell you. And been doing this radio with Jason Houck a long time now. We've done over 1,000 shows, we think. We used to be a daily, and now we're a weekly. And by gosh, we were using duct tape and bubble gum, and we'd hold the telephone to the microphone. We did all kinds of crazy-ass things back in the day. And, community radio. And now you are a performer, a singer-songwriter, and I bet you got a story or two yourself. Sometimes you just got to improvise. The real world is that way. Life is that way. Sometimes you got to have a plan B. David Rovics, for our listeners out there, maybe not everybody knows who you are. I can't believe that. Would you help us with the introduction? David Rovics, you got the microphone.
Well, I'm a songwriter, a touring musician. I got a podcast. I live in Portland, Oregon when I'm not touring, which of course is most of the time these days, not touring. But yeah, in a nutshell. And I used to have sneakers that I held together with bubblegum. So, duct tape. I don't think I ever tried duct tape. To hold together my sneakers. But I did. I did use bubble gum, which worked for a while with the soles.
You can always find it underneath the chair if you need a piece of bubble gum. It used to be that way. And yeah. Oh, yes. Well, now listen, you do travel some. I know recently I got a hold of you, sent you an email, and asked you if you'd be our guest. Here you are today on the Brain Labor Report. But you said this. You said, well, I'm in Denmark, and the time won't quite work out right, the time difference of being in Europe. So you were recently in Europe. Yeah, let's start there. Tell us about your trip to Europe, and glad to have you back home in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, good to be back. Although I was very happy to be in Europe and I didn't necessarily want to leave. But Denmark is, I mean, they've got the virus under control. They never had any serious economic problems because of it, because they froze the economy and basically everybody kept their jobs and all the businesses stayed open and all the prices are normal like they always were. And it was wonderful playing gigs for large crowds of maskless audiences and, you know, indoor spaces. But they all have a Corona Pass system in Denmark that works, where you have to be vaccinated to attend a gig and that sort of thing. And you have to be vaccinated to enter the country. And so, but those measures have been effective, and other countries don't want to try them because they're too, you know, ruled by rugged individualists or, you know, people that believe in some kind of notion of freedom that involves infecting the rest of society. So Denmark does.
Boy, you put a lot packed into that one. And let me tell you, we already did the disclaimer at the front end of the show. And our disclaimer makes it clear that we have views. They're not necessarily those of KSKQ or of the Multicultural Association of Southern Oregon. That's who holds the license for KSKQ. Having said that, we can say what the heck we want. Well, we're not going to cuss. This is a daytime show, you know. We're not going to use those kind of words.
FGC words, yeah.
Oh, man, but I think I've known this for a long time. What do you think about this idea? You know, we always concentrate, what can you say on the radio? You know, don't say seven words that George Carlin, cuss words, used to talk about. Brothers and sisters, what do you think of this idea, David? More dangerous are the thoughts that we have. Some of the independent notions that are different than mainstream media, I submit that's what fears is more fearsome for those who want to control the media. Let me turn it over to you. We've done the disclaimer. You can say what you want. What do you think about that idea, this media?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There's a media narrative, I mean, that about a lot of things. And I mean, I don't know how much it necessarily, in terms of the virus and controlling the virus, I mean, there's a lot of different media narratives around it. I mean, for one thing, in the progressive media or the liberal media or whatever we want to call it, like, you know, not the Fox end, but the more like CNN and of the media, the NPR end. Yeah. They talk about the virus like the Delta variant is a sort of inevitable problem, and they talk about it like the Delta variant is our main problem rather than our policies. And but it's clearly, you know, as you can see by comparing the situation in the United States to the situation in other countries where the Delta variant is the dominant variant, which includes Denmark, it's not true that the variant is the problem so much as government policies in dealing with the variant. And that's, you know, I mean, and then, of course, on the other end of the media, you got the so-called conservative media, which is questioning the existence of the virus, which, of course, is a big part of the problem in the first place in terms of why people aren't getting vaccinated and why the government feels, for whatever reasons, unable to actually implement the kinds of policies that would be effective in dealing with it. You know, we just have to bumble around and die instead. You can live free or die. Is what I used to have a car with a New Hampshire license plate when I lived in Boston. And a lot of people, you know, owned their cars in New Hampshire if they had a friend in New Hampshire, because there was like 0% tax and stuff, you know, like in Oregon, you know, so it was like the Washington, Oregon thing. But, you know, you had a license plate that said live free or die. And that's a Revolutionary War slogan. And it sounds really nice until you think about it, you know, and it's like when I think about it, especially in light of the virus, you know, I think I would much rather live with minor restrictions and don't die. You know, that seems much better than dying, you know, because it seems like live free and die is what we're doing here now. You know, a lot of people are living free and dying. And that's it's a strange way to live free, to die. How about get a vaccine instead?
Listeners out there, this is the voice of My voice is Wes Brame, host of the show. You're listening to David Rovics. He's somebody with opinions, and I happen to agree with him on this stuff. You know, I get mixed up sometimes on what you can say and what you can't say, and sometimes the ACLU kind of pisses me off because they'll take sometimes a view. They will take aside a political stance that I don't agree with, and you got to dig in deep to realize that it's the First Amendment that they're fighting for. I can envision some of these things politically I don't agree with that they might be taking the wrong side about. But let's get into what you just said, because here's how I feel about it. I'll fight to the death for your right to say it. Having said that, stay the hell away from me. If you don't have a mask on, get away from my face. I don't want to die. Go to Idaho or Utah. How I feel about this. So if you have any feelings, like, hell, go say anything you want. Scream it from a mountaintop. Just stay the hell out of my face and don't make other people die. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that way. And then I also feel like, you know, basically we are in a situation in this country where we're pitted against each other because of massively wealthy media interests that, for whatever reason, see fit to sow really, really serious disinformation, like really serious unscientific disinformation about vaccines and their effectiveness and about the impact of the virus as opposed to the impact of the vaccine. I mean, you know, there are major media entities in this country and other countries that are spreading real serious disinformation. And so it's not surprising that, you know, a lot of people fall for it. And then, of course, it's also not surprising people fall for it because we have a very long history in this country of the government systematically lying to the people about everything, you know. So, I mean, look, before we went into war, here we are just pulling out of Afghanistan and seeing a new wave of refugees. Before we went into war in Iraq in 2003, Colin Powell lied in the United Nations 31 times in a row. He lied. And that's what the lies, those are the lies that got us involved with the war in Iraq. And how many thousands of Americans died because of those lies? How many millions of Iraqis died because of those lies? And, you know, and now we're supposed to believe the government when it says we should all get vaccinated? You know, so it's very understandable to me that there's a lot of people who don't believe anything the government has to say, don't believe anything they read in the media. They've been lied to too much. They're confused. They're lost. They don't know what to think. I understand. But, you know, there are ways to understand reality, you know, even with the lying elements of the media, you can get a three-dimensional perspective on reality. Helps a lot to leave the country and see how what's going on in the rest of the world. Helps a lot to read international media, get away from this country's media. And then, you know, you can get some perspective. And, you know, it's very possible to do. But I try not to get angry at the individuals, you know, who are, you know, stupid enough to not get vaccinated or to join the Proud Boys or whatever else stupid people do, because this is a country where, you know, there are very major influences influencing people to do stupid things. And I just want to be one of those influences that tries to, you know, speak reason.
Yay for that. We question authority. I can't think of anything more democratic than questioning authority. I've been doing it my whole life. Sometimes I question authority and find out, David, that the people are actually on my side. I you know, their authority, they got to be the bosses or a way to think about that and digging into the weeds. But questioning authority is ever so important when we talk about healthcare, and we're talking about COVID-19, we're talking about people dying. We're talking about a backwards system, no system at all in this country that it's we could be over this damn thing. And I got to bring up my other disclaimer. I'm on the board of Healthcare for All Oregon. I've been on this board for a long, long time. And I am on this board because I want to see us join the rest of the modern world. I want to see the United States have a healthcare system. And just to speak about COVID for a minute and comment on this, do you know what? Remember, we can't get PPE. We can't do this. We can't do that. Every step of the way since, a year and a half now we've been dealing with this pandemic. Every step of the way we have fumbled, from PPE to the testing, to every damn step of the way. And David, if we had a system to take care of the people in this country, all of us, Denmark. We'd have this behind us. You've got the microphone right now. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what the pandemic has made it, you know, very obvious is that there are massive shortcomings when you are running an economy based on what is essentially unfettered capitalism with no significant amounts of regulation. You know, this in our country, we have this strange distorted economy, which is pretty much unique in the world in that it is it's dominated by the neoliberal economics where corporations are subsidized, encouraged to move around the world and exploit people wherever they can find the cheapest labor and the worst environmental standards. That's why so many of the why our companies, so many American companies already left decades ago and moved to other parts of the world where workers are paid less and standards are lower. That's why that we have maquiladoras along the Mexico-U.S. border. That's why there's so many American corporations with factories in, you know, Honduras and China and the Dominican Republic and, you know, everywhere. You know, that's why they left, to exploit lower standards. And that's why we don't create any of those things here. That's why we don't make masks and any of those stuff, because we make them cheaper in other countries. And the only thing that we make here that we can rely on in a pinch is military equipment. And that's structural. We are independent when it comes to energy and military equipment, and that's structural. You know, but when it comes to everything else, we are dependent on production that we've outsourced to the rest of the world, and that's also structural. And so it is our structural failings that brought a lot of this to come into being. I mean, of course, there's the National Defense Authorization Act that Biden, I guess, used in some limited way, and that Trump could have used. But these acts are just are measures of desperation. They are not a way of compensating for the complete lack of preparedness, and for the complete lack of a public health sector. We don't have a public health sector. The idea, you know, people talking about go see your doctor. What kind of a joke is that? Every time you listen to NPR and one of those hyper-privileged people from Westchester County, New York, or wherever they came from, talk about seeing your doctor, you know, what the hell? Most people don't have doctors. They don't see doctors. They don't have a regular doctor. That's a fantasy of the increasingly scarce upper middle class. It's the rich. You know, that's European fantasy. That's not American reality. We live in tents in this country. We don't have doctors.
Very true. I will say one of the things any of us can do, and it's not easy. It's not easy if you're homeless. There's so many barricades. I have a long-term relationship with both my my main doctor, and then with my cardiologist, David. And this just didn't happen. This is building relationships with anybody does take a point. Take some energy, and I put it in, and for a long, long time, we've got to know each other. My cardiologist talked me into, listen, I'm not communist, are you sitting down? Talked me into giving up beef and pork. I love prime rib. My cardiologist talked me into this. I was so damn impressed. I said, Dr. Funk, I said, would you be on the radio show? He was on KSKQ. My cardiologist was to talk about diet. Actually, he was on twice. He's got his wife on, too. She's a dietitian because he couldn't answer all the questions the first time. He got her on, too. And we talked it through. We talked about diet. And so all to say that you're absolutely right. We have such a disassociation between people, patients, consumers, I guess that's what we are, healthcare consumers, and our doctors, it is disconnected. But I challenge everybody out there, when you can, develop a relationship. It can be very, very important, and it can help save your life. Listen, I talk too much. This is my radio show, and I always say, Wes, you got to let your guests talk a little bit more.
Of course, we are in Oregon, so it does, when you talk about your cardiologist, that does, you know, this is one of the very rare exceptions in the United States. I forget that I'm talking locally, actually in the state I live in, but, you know, here in Oregon, we do have, you know, as you know well, because you've been fighting for so long, we do have something approaching, actual statewide healthcare. What was it, 98% of Oregonians have some kind of health insurance. And that, of course, is a product of, you know, Oregon Health Plan and the American, you know, the extension of Medicaid and all that stuff. So few yes. states have done that. And in most states, when I say we don't have doctors, I'm talking about, yeah, most of the country, not Oregon, not Vermont, but most of the country, you know, people don't have doctors. They don't, they go to emergency rooms. That's when they go to doctors.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't even get in right now because you're packed with COVID and whatnot. I would like to shift a little bit to bring up the next song. It's called I Dreamed I Saw Ann Feeney. And I want to shift this way. David Robix, if something happens in the world today, you're going to have a song about it tomorrow. And I think way, way back. In fact, you and Ann Feeney have a lot in common about this. Because she could fire you up, still does, on the picket line. She really gets you going. I remember a song you had, OIL, Operation Iraqi, OIL, Liberation.
Liberation.
The name of that song. Yeah, I used to play that on the radio on the way to a rally. And just like with Ann Feeney, it kept me all fired up. And my God, I loved it, and I love it still. With that, I'd like you to introduce the next song and say what you'd like about Dear Ann Feeney. I Dreamed I Saw Ann Feeney. David Robix, you got the microphone.
Well, I wish it were true that I wrote a song about every news item that comes across. I certainly not true, but I write songs about a lot of them, some of them. And definitely when my dear friend and longtime traveling comrade on the in the labor movement and other movements as well. And Anne was not only a very close old friend of mine, but we shared what was really very unusual circumstances for most people in the world, in that we were not only both touring musicians, both embedded in the left in the United States, but also her husband was Swedish. He's still alive, wonderful guy. He's Swedish, and she spent, and I have more fans in Scandinavia than anywhere outside of England, and so I spend a lot of time in Scandinavia, and so, you know, we have over many years spent probably more time together than, I mean, just, you know, we hang out in Sweden and we hang out on the road in the U.S. So it was a very special relationship, and she died way too young at the age of 69 of COVID-19 last summer.
So yes, I can't remember her birthday now. We're within months of, I'm 69 myself, we're in months of the same age, and oh, a dear, dear friend. When I lost
my daughter. Yeah, I know, you knew her well.
Oh, when I lost my daughter,
to Oregon a lot.
Oregon was a favorite. Yeah.
And Southern Oregon as well, specifically. I mean, she organized tours, and you were involved with tours around healthcare for all and stuff that she did up on the West Coast. And she came here every year, and Oregon was one of her main stomping grounds.
So there's a song, and we should speak about this. This is your newest album. It's called May Day. And tell us about that, and introduce this song. And then Jason, if he's still with us in the studio, we'll play track number 5. It's called I Dreamed I Saw Ann Feeney. A couple of words about your new album, and we'll listen to the song.
Yeah, the new album, when I was visiting family out in Massachusetts in July, I got in touch with musicians that I've done a lot of recording with over the years, mostly prior to moving to Portland in 2007, back when I was more based out of Boston. And we spent a day in a studio recording songs that they all had a chance to practice in advance, and it came together really well. And that's the album was basically sort of mostly just a live take, as they call it in recording terms, in a studio in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Of new songs. I mean, they're all new, you know, songs I've written in the past year.
We'd like folks to listen to it now. I Dreamed I Saw Ann Feeney. If we got that queued up, ready to go, Jason, appreciate it, bro.
dreamed I saw Ann Feeney. It was on a picket line somewhere in the world where the workers did combine, cheering on the strikers with a guitar in her hand, from Oregon to Ireland. I dreamed I saw Ann Feeney amid the foggy glow of the flashbang grenades outside the WTO, singing songs against the war at a military fort, or making arguments in court. I dreamed I saw Ann Feeney in the Texas hills, singing songs around a torch at Kerrville, crossing every bridge she could with the wheels of a car, with some CDs in the trunk, along with a guitar. I dreamed I saw Ann Feeney. I dreamed she never fell. She was in Baja with her grandkids doing swell, sharing free advice on how to find the cheapest flight so you can be throwing Swedish snowballs beneath the northern lights. I dreamed I saw Ann Feeney get her first dose of vaccine instead of reading of the people who died of COVID-19. In the New York Times, nice things that they said, but I so much wish we could have and still here instead. I dreamed I saw Ann Feeney.
I dream about Ann Feeney myself. Yeah, I'll tell you. Well, what a sweetie. And inspiration. And so I mentioned I lost my daughter in 2009. Mm. As we get older, we start knowing more people who, well, they pass on. It's just the way it works out. My dad, I remember him, you know, he's in his 80s, and he says Everybody I knew has now died. I mean, that's what happens as we get older. And so, okay, I don't want to get too much into death, but I want to get into the inspiration that our music songwriters, singers, entertainers, like Ann Feeney and David Rovix, they are such an inspiration to our movement. I'm telling you, I just can't tell you. The words don't say. If I could sing a song, I'd write one for you. David Rovix, it's an amazing thing you guys do, and it really helps us out. It's a big thanks for that, and it really is. Really is, brother. We're going to get into another. It's 9:43. That's what happens. An hour goes by quickly. We got another song off your May Day album, your newest album. By the way, DavidRovix.com or what's your website?
DavidRovix.com. Yeah.
People can go there and learn about your album and learn more about David Rovix. This is the first time you've ever heard him. Well, you're going to hear him sing a song now, and it's about when the workers of the world combine. And maybe to introduce that, let's chat for just a minute about unions. And I like to always talk about unions as a big structure. There's so many different kinds of unions, about like talking about the government. You know, some people, oh, the government is bad, or all the unions are bad. Brothers and sisters, there's good unions and bad unions. There's examples of good government and bad government. And it's not all one way or anything. Very complicated. There's some radical unions that make a difference. Oh, my God, the longshoremen, some of the work that they've done. Our California Nurses Association, big leaders pushing for single-payer health care, especially unions that don't do a damn thing. And it's easy to understand why sometimes people get down on unions. So comment a little bit on that, and the idea your song's about is when workers do get their heads together and work on something together. And this, your new song's about internationally. Oh, there's nothing that can't stop us if we can work together. Listen, I talk too much. Would you speak about our unions a little bit and help us introduce this song?
We never talk too much, Wes, but it is actually a song. I mean, I believe actually the title is exactly the same title that Joe Hill used once that he wrote a song about, same title. And I just happily and liberally borrow from my the people upon whose shoulders I stand, because yes, that's the folk process. But the basic idea is the same idea that it was when Marx and Engels wrote the Communist Manifesto. Same idea it was when the industrial workers of the world formed and started talking about the idea of the one big union. The idea is the organizing of the working class as a class, and which also obviously and necessarily means the working class must organize as a class and identify with themselves as a class, not as what we need and what we are calling for, those of us in this global movement that has been going on for centuries now that may go by various names, but what we are calling for is international class solidarity. And the abolition of any wars between nations, because wars between nations are always wars between the working class of any yes, two countries. We need none of that. We don't want race war. We don't want national war. We want class war. And class war is already happening. It's already upon us, and we're losing badly. And the trillionaires are winning. And we have to fight back. And that's what Workers of the World organizing is all about, whether we're organizing here in the United States or around the world, which is the kind of organizing ultimately that's needed, because capital, the forces of the business interests, Amazon, Spotify, Exxon Mobil, these are global corporations, Goldman Sachs, Blackstone, these are global corporations that control our lives. And in order to combat them, we absolutely must be able to organize globally. So the idea that that we need to be scared about international ties and global organizing is just wrong. This is not globalism. Globalism, if whatever that is if we're talking about corporate control of the world, that is something to fear, and that is something exactly that we need to fight back against by organizing internationally, not by opposing the idea of making alliances, which seems to be much more the way of the insular nature that some elements of the labor movement can take. This America first. America first is exactly the wrong direction to go in here, and that's exactly what got us here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. How many countries of the world are we trying to control right now with military? I've heard anywhere from 40 to 80, and a lot of it's done by what do they call them? Military contractors. Hell, they're third party. They're just people who mercenaries they want to kill. It's insane. Listen.
Just looking for a good job. I mean, bear in mind, some of those mercenaries are getting paid $180,000 a year, and some of them are from very poor countries. I mean, huge amounts of military contractors in the U.S. military from the Philippines. So, that's just bear in mind. We're not talking necessarily about all a bunch of gung-ho Navy SEAL types who swallowed all the propaganda and grew up in some suburb in Indiana. You know, it's a whole lot of different people, and no small numbers of Israelis. And I'm not sure about their. I think their motivations might be a bit different from the Filipino mercenaries. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting selection of mercenaries working for the U.S. military. Hondurans, a lot of Hondurans.
Before we play this, I've got a friend. You made me think of this. I want to ask your question of that. He's a school teacher in Germany, and in fact, his son-in-law is one of those people who passed away. One of my buddies here in Southern Oregon. Fairly recently, but we got us talking to each other. You know how things happen that way. And we were. I was asking him about you know, fascism and what's going on in Europe and everything. And you know what he told me? He says, you know what? He says, actually, there's some young people who are Asian youngsters, and he's a school teacher. And he says, man, there's some real, I'll use it, fascist hatred amongst some of the Asians in, he was talking about, in Germany right now. That kind of surprised me to hear that. And but I'll tell you, we got to fight it on all fronts. And that was my friend's father-in-law, who's that school teacher I'm telling you about. Any comments on that? And then we're going to have to get to this song, too, because it's a great one.
I mean, I think it's a really important point to bring up because people, you know, a lot of identitarian reductionists from the United States, they get a lot of really weird ideas about the world. But like, you know, of course, you know, Modi in India is a fascist, and Modi's background as a fascist, and how somebody like Modi, you know, Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister of India, how somebody like Narendra Modi becomes a fascist, it's the same story as how somebody like Trump became a fascist or how Hitler became a fascist. There are, you know, really remarkable repetitions in history between so many of these different situations that give rise to fascist leaders. And fascism is a complex phenomenon, and it's not just authoritarianism, and people need to understand that. And the fascists in the 30s called themselves National Socialists, the German fascists, they called themselves National Socialists, and they really emphasized the term. And if you look at the kind of dogma coming out of people like Narendra Modi or Bolsonaro in Brazil or Trump, if you're not looking at it from the angle of the liberal media, but you're looking at it from a more objective, more intelligent perspective, you'll find that they are appealing to the working classes of their countries. And that's the basis on which they're trying to appeal to their people. They're appealing to their working classes, and they're appealing to their working classes sort of more base sort of racist instincts, you know, in terms of the various ethnic divisions in places like India. But India, of course, has lots of ethnic divisions to exploit, and that's what Modi is doing. And I think if you're talking about Asians in Germany, you're probably talking mostly about Turks, and there's a lot of fascists in Turkey. And there's a lot of fascist Turks in Germany as well. And there's a lot of progressive, lots of radical left-wing Turks as well, loads of them. In fact, you know, there are neighborhoods, mostly Turkish neighborhoods in Germany in cities that mostly vote for the left party, Die Linke. However, there are also fascists from the Turkish community in Germany. They often organize under the rubric of a group called the Grey Wolves. They attack refugees. They're just as fascist as any other German fascist.
Brothers and sisters, that's the voice of David Rovix, and now we're going to hear him sing. After this song, we'll have just a quick minute and a half, 2 minutes to sum it up and say goodbye, David Rovix. When the workers of the world combine. If we got that queued up, ready to go, let's hear it now.
Of the year on the 1st of May, known around the world as International Workers' Day. You'll still see people marching in every corner of the earth. St. John to Santiago, Kerala to Perth, all keeping alive the fantasy what could happen down the line. Of the world combined. You can see us gathering early in the morn. Some are celebrating the shackles we have shorn, while so many billions are just waiting for the moment that we might stop losing the class war, when someday we can all say, yeah, we're doing fine. When the workers of the world combine. When that time arrives, Maybe it looks like May Day, like a festival that comes home and doesn't go away. Every race and gender, every walk and station, with the working class united, every land and nation. Then just watch what happens when we follow the same sign. When the workers of the world combine. Fifth month of the year, on the 1st of May, known around the world as International Workers' Day.
It's called May Day, when the workers of the world combine. That's David Rovics, and we still got him on the horn. We've got a couple of minutes to say goodbye. This is the Brain Labor Report. David, you're still there, I hope. Yeah.
Still here, oh yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
As we go out, I've been able to do this show remotely. I'm on the telephone. David, you're on the phone. We did something last week for the second time for the Brain Labor Report. We used Zoom, and I understand that during COVID, Zoom did something that YouTube did not do. We cannot broadcast anything on YouTube on community radio, but Zoom, in fact, allowed us to do this, and so we can now get five people on, do a Zoom meeting, and broadcast it over KSKQ. There's always new ways to figure things out, and we'll do that again, too. It's about Jason. I wanted to mention Hauk is in the studio. He's our heavy-duty engineer. He's there, and he helps us make these things happen, and by God, we get more duct tape and bubble gum sometimes to make it happen. David Rovics, it is an absolute delight to have you on here. Keep up the good work. You've got the horn for the last minute or so, and then we do need to say goodbye.
Well, yeah, I just thanks. It's been a pleasure being on, and I just, I hate to bring up a downer, but, you know, when I hear Jason's name, it makes me think of these fires that are going on and that burned down so much of Southern Oregon last September. Yes. And that it's now raging right now all over the West Coast. I have nothing to say about it other than I'm thinking about it and it sucks. And, climate chaos sucks and we got to do something about it. And all this talk about, like, you know, dealing with climate change without talking about what we're going to do about the housing market is just insanity. Because if we don't stop building out of necessity, building in the forests that need to be forests, and if we can't start living differently in the society, if capitalism doesn't allow us to restructure how we do things, and without changing the structure of the housing market, it's hopeless. Nobody's talking about it. So I'll just close on that.
Well said. It's going to take a quantum leap. David Rovics has been our guest. It is time to say goodbye. David, thank you, thank you, thank you. The Brain Labor Report. We'll be back again next Wednesday, every Wednesday on KSKQ at 9 o'clock. And so with that, it is time to say goodbye. Keep up the good work, David Rovics. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks so much, Wes.
Okay. Jason, you got her back now. We will be back again next Wednesday. Thanks again, Jason, for the show. Everybody, have a good week. Do something nice for somebody, okay? Bye-bye now.
I'd write a line for your appendix, several for your spleen. I'd write one for every day you've had to quarantine. I'd write at least a couple verses, the purest ones I ever sung. If it might help you breathe easier, one for each lung. I'd sing for both your eyes, for all the words you couldn't say. If a song could make your troubles go away, I'd write a line for the state in the hope it might fulfill a few basic obligations. The verse for the the popular way.
KSKQ 89.5 FM, Ashland, Oregon, and KSKQ 94.1 FM, Medford, Oregon. Community radio for the Rogue Valley.
A woman came up to me and said, I'd like to poison your mind with wrong ideas that appeal to you, though I am not unkind. She looked at me, I looked at something written across her scalp, and these are the words that it faintly said as I tried to call for help. There's only one thing that I know how to do well, and